and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Heather Bosch. Thousands gather on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in the nation's capital for the People's March.
Speakers addressed the question that many had.
What are we marching for? Who is this march for?
In addition to reproductive rights, people held signs rallying for environmental justice, financial equality, immigration rights, and more.
Well, it used to be the Women's March, but now it's more inclusive to include any marginalized person.
The peaceful demonstration marched past the White House, which is blocked off ahead of Monday's inauguration.
All of us are a little scared about what's going to happen starting next week.
Heather Gustafson for CBS News, Washington.
Dangerously low temperatures are sweeping across the U.S. CBS News New York meteorologist John Elliott.
Advisories, temperature-driven and winter weather-driven, stretching from Montana to Mobile, from Idaho to Maine, from the Great Lakes to the Gulf. Really serious stuff.
More than 100 million people are under winter weather advisories. President-elect Donald Trump says he most likely will give TikTok a 90-day extension to work out a deal to avoid a ban in the U.S., CBS's Ali Bauman reports.
Now, some users calling themselves TikTok refugees are flocking to similar apps like Red Note, which is also owned by a Chinese company.
We should have the right to go to all of these apps.
But there's concern apps with strong ties to China pose a national security risk. A rally in Tel Aviv calling for the release of all hostages held by Hamas. 33 are said to be freed starting tomorrow, though Israel's prime minister is demanding a list of their names or the ceasefire might not happen. Still in Gaza, CBS's Remy Innocencio says there's hope.
In this tented camp in central Khan Yunis, finally a lifeline. We hope by the name of God that today is the last day of war, said this displaced man from southern Gaza. Aid is waiting across Gaza's southern border in Egypt. Trucks with food, water, and medical supplies ready to roll.
As firefighters make progress against the Los Angeles area wildfires, the Pasadena Unified School District is hoping classes will resume by the end of the month. Teacher Candace Annett.
I'm getting emotional now because until you actually see it, it doesn't feel real. And I'm worried about our students coming back and coming into these environments. It's devastation. It's completely around our school.
The wildfires have killed at least 27 people, destroyed about 12,000 structures. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay, and the show will be back in February with more stories from your community.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Ahead of President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration, thousands of people are protesting this weekend. Special teams have even made their way to D.C. to try to keep things peaceful without using force. Mike Moen reports.
Nonviolent Peace Force was invited by organizers of the People's March to ensure demonstrators feel safe as they express their views. The group's Anna Zero says they'll take a nonpartisan approach in helping out. They'll be on the spot to carry out de-escalation tactics if needed.
What we do is really about leaning into the humanity of other people, right? People often escalate because they're not being heard and because they feel vulnerable. So if we can reach out to that person proactively, if we see attention rising and listen to them, kind of divert the attention.
In 2017, before Trump's first inauguration, this event was called the Women's March, but has been rebranded as progressives worry about actions like mass deportations. Zero says preparation is key to setting a peaceful tone, noting they trained roughly 200 volunteers in recent weeks. She acknowledges in today's political climate it can be tricky to encourage tolerance, as a lot of people have strong feelings about where we are as a country. But she insists it's still worth it, even if it feels out of reach.
Sometimes the work of nonviolence can feel like, no, this isn't what we need. Our problems are too big. But that is exactly when we do need nonviolence, because when we see these fissures in our ability to relate to other human beings, nonviolence at its core is about being able to see that person for who they are.
She says building tolerance usually takes longer when teaching it to people surrounded by conflict. The weekend assistance won't foster deep political discussions if tension arises, but rather those on-the-spot efforts to lower the temperature. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cold weather advisory tonight through Monday. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of negative 10. Windchill values as cold as 25 below. Sunday, mostly sunny and continued frigid. A high of 4 below. Windchill values as cold as 30 below. Right now, it's 12 degrees.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the New People. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. First up is Matt Nair on Air. And this week, Jane and Greg remembered the four-year anniversary of January 6th, and, more importantly, attempts to rewrite the history of that day.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very, very busy show coming up for you. Governor Evers would like to see Wisconsin residents have a say in referenda. There are other states that do that, Greg Bach.
I think like half of them already do that.
Yes, many, many states do that. And Governor Evers would like to see Wisconsin residents have a little say about what gets on the ballot. Of course, Popcorn King Robin Voss has some thoughts about that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't surprise anyone. We'll be talking about that after the 10:30 news. The citizen referendums, of course, the flags are flying at half staff today and will be throughout the month. Not everyone is happy about that. I'll let you guess who. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Next hour, this is something that I think Greg has kind of flown under the radar a little bit.
Yes.
If you're going to be traveling and you're going to be traveling overseas. Yeah, it was not intentional, actually. If you're going to be traveling, and especially overseas, and not just overseas, but within the country,
yeah,
there have been some changes and you're going to need the correct documentation. So we will be kicking that around after 11 o'clock. We have an update on the boat stuck at Bradford Beach. We finally know who that boat belongs to.
Would you say we put a face to a McBoaty face?
Oh, look at you. Yeah, they're looking for a little help, apparently, the owners of that boat that's been stuck there for well over a month. After the 11:30 news, the Golden Globes were last night. We will take our look at the rundown of the winners and highlight some of the speeches. And then we will wrap it up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the High and Dry edition. If you ever have a thing that you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. I'm going to start off the show today, though. It is January 6th. It is the four-year anniversary of the attack at the U.S. Capitol. According to some, it was a day of love, Greg Bach. A day of love. Not necessarily from some of the officers who were defending our lawmakers and our Capitol. Aquilino Gunnell, who was one of the officers, one of the Capitol police officers protecting us that day. He has an article in the Bulwark today called, and the headline reads, "I was nearly killed on January 6th. 4 years later, I feel betrayed all over again. The people whose lives I protected sided with my attackers, but they weren't the only ones who let me down. I don't know about you, but I watched all of it unfold live on television.
I did as well. I was working at the barber shop, and it was a quiet day, and I was watching it happen, and all of a sudden I'm seeing people rushing the stairs and fires being lit and guns going off. I remember standing up and saying to my coworkers, something really wrong is happening right now. And it was absolutely tragic to watch. And it's one of those moments. It's a JFK September 11th. Where were you on January 6th? Did you watch it happen? How did you hear about it?
I will never forget those images.
Yeah.
And if you have someone in your family circle who still maintains that it was nothing, it was a blip. I highly encourage you to pull up some of the video from that day and look at what was happening with our Capitol Police officers and the other officers who were called in to help. It was horrific. We had rioters attacking police officers with flagpoles.
Yeah.
If you saw any of the attack on, they pulled them out into the crowd, beating them on the ground. The officer that Pat Kreitlow had on his show, who's unfortunately named escaped me right now.
I know who you're talking about too. He's written a book, and he did a tour about it. And I think about the officer who was being crushed by
the door
and them saying push and take his helmet. And it was, and the bravery of the other officer who led the traitors. They're traitors. They're insurrectionists. They're not citizens to me. They're traitors away from Republicans and Democrats who we don't know what would have happened had they been discovered.
They had a noose on the front lawn.
Yeah, they were demanding to execute the sitting vice president at the time. I mean, we could go on and on and on. There is no version of the story that makes them look like fun-loving, patriotic tourists who were just taking in the sights that day. This was a mob of violent, armed traitors who walked into the building because they were upset that they didn't get their way.
Well, and it was encouraged by the former president.
Yes.
We had 2 months leading up to this of, it was stolen. It was stolen. There was no evidence that it had been stolen. There were 60 court cases that they lost. Mm-hmm. And I will say this, Greg, I do think that there were some people who did not go into the Capitol, who did not attack our police officers. There were certainly some people there who were not violent, but the core of them, we're talking about 1,800 people.
I that's where I'll disagree with you. I don't care what their intentions were. They attended. They were there. They walked in. When you are standing around people screaming and yelling, doing that, trying to cause violence, and you're a part, you were in it, you are as culpable as the rest of them. You can't. I do not believe you say, well, I didn't know. Well, if you didn't know, then you shouldn't have gone in. I mean, we have a sitting congressman from this state who was there. He didn't go to the Capitol. That is very proven. But
you talking about Derek?
Derek Van Orden. Yeah, Derek DVO. Van Orden. He DVO was there, and I find him to be just as culpable and as much of a traitor as the rest of them. So I do not accept what their intentions were. They were there, and this really, really angers me because, and we talked about this today on Pat's show when you were on. By the way, Jane's always on Pat's show at the end on Mondays. Tune in. This is coming from these people who are revisioning the history here. These are coming from the people who support the blue, back the blue. They're all for the cops. Absolutely, without doubt. Yes. Pro-cop. Yes. But when it comes to these individuals who are nearly killed and to the officers who died as a result of this traitorous event... I don't know, man. I don't know. Oh, all of a sudden, the blue isn't worth your support. It's these people in camo who are playing Weekend Warrior with their guns and their flagpoles. They're the ones who are in worthy
of
your. They're the Patriots and not the ones who are laying down their lives and putting themselves in harm's way to save people. That's good. All right, cool. Just so we have that down as an argument. Great.
John Kay on the live stream says, I was watching from home while I worked and I felt the same as I felt on 9/11. Yeah. I hear you, John. It was surreal. And I kept saying to myself, where is all the help? Where is the help?
Yeah.
And of course, the backers of Donald Trump will say, well, that was Nancy Pelosi's responsibility.
No,
it wasn't.
No,
it actually was not.
And that's been proven time and time again. There's one man who should have done something and he didn't. He sat in his office, watched it on television
for hours,
was enjoying it because he felt like he was getting his way. And he felt like he didn't. And it was like 3 hours later, he goes to the Rose Garden and makes some cockamamie speech. We love you. Go home. Traitor. Just absolute. God, I want to swear so bad right now, Jane, but I'm not going to.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to, but it's just, it's infuriating. And it also, like, the world watched this. This, and it's different than 9/11, because when 9/11 happened, this was an attack. This was a terrorist attack from overseas.
From outside.
Nothing.
From outside.
The call came from inside the house, and the whole world got to watch this happen. In America, where we're supposed to be so strong and so powerful, it was just absolutely mind-blowing to witness. And for a moment, I thought, oh, of course we'll be united on this one. We know who the perpetrators are.
The bad guys are, yeah.
Not so much if you ask the elected officials who were there that day.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Greg, because Tom Dreisbach on Twitter has a whole series of what our Republican lawmakers said in the immediate aftermath mm-hmm. of January 6th.
Yep.
This is within the first 2 days.
Yeah.
Because as you'll remember, Kevin McCarthy then, after what, 4 days, flew down to Mar-a-Lago
yep.
and completely rehabilitated Donald Trump.
Yep.
And brought him back to life.
Yes.
This is what John Thune said, who is now Senate Majority Leader, about January 6th. A shrine to democracy for our country and the world was overrun by violent extremists seeking to overturn an election. We must hold those responsible to account. Senator John Marasso, the violence and destruction have no place in our republic. It must end now. Mitch McConnell, January 6th was a disgrace. American citizens attacked their own government. They used terrorism to try to stop a specific piece of domestic business they did not like. Senator Marsha Blackburn, these actions at the U.S. Capitol by protesters are truly despicable and unacceptable. While I am safe and sheltering in place, these protests are prohibiting us from doing our constitutional duty. I condemn them in the strongest possible terms. We are a nation of laws. Yeah, maybe not so much, Marsha.
Yeah, I'm watching. Like we have news running in the studio at all times at Radio Park, and I'm watching footage right now of people using nightsticks and shields from the cops to break the windows of the Capitol. Spell out for me where Love Fest begins. Spell out to me this was a tour and not an attack.
Were you watching what happened on January 6th? What do you think about where we are now? 855-752-4842. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
At the Home Depot, it's our business to support yours. Partner with your go-to source for building your business. We can help you streamline your operations by supplying the whole job from start to finish. Any questions? Our pro desk is ready to answer the call with supply sourcing, custom orders, large equipment rentals, and more. Elevate your efficiency and take on more projects with the partner you can trust. The Home Depot, how pros get more done.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This week, Pete Schwabe of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe did his show down in Madison. And as a guest, he welcomed on Madison musician Katie Scullin. Next up on Spotlight, she talks about her process for writing songs and performs a song live on the air.
Hey, I'm Pete Schwabe. Welcome back. We are broadcasting statewide from Madison tonight. It's always fun to do the show from here. Chris Casper helping out. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you, as always. Conrad holding the fort back down back in Green Bay, telling everyone to keep it down so I don't know he's throwing a party. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. She has been on the show before. She's a Madison-based singer-songwriter, and she's awesome in so many ways. And her name is Katie Scullin. Katie, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. How's it going?
It's going great. It's so good to have you back. I really enjoyed you being here last time you came down. Do you live far away, or is this an easy commute for you?
It is. Yeah, okay. I'm close by. I live in Oregon, just south.
So how have you been? How's the career going? Have you played any good gigs recently? Where are things at?
I've been good. Yeah. I've been mostly focused on writing and recording. Okay. My goal is to release a full length in 2025. So I have some time, but yeah. I've got, you know, like 5 or 6 songs ready to go, 3-4 in the works. But yeah, I've been just really focused on that. Played a couple shows. Indie Tune Up is one that I really like here in Fitchburg.
How long does it take you to like, when you have the concept of a song, to write it down, mess around with it from that moment to playing it live? What's that process like? How long is that?
I think it depends. Sometimes, it will take months, and sometimes I'll write it in like a weekend.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah. Like I wrote one this weekend, which is strange because sometimes I'll go through like seasons of writer's block and won't be able to write anything at all.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah. That's too bad. But it all depends.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it takes forever. And then sometimes I'll write a song and I'll go back to it and change it completely. And yeah.
Will you, I think I know the answer to this, but will you be willing to play us a song?
Absolutely.
You have a guitar. I figured you were prepared for that question.
As long as I don't get a Freebird request.
Casper. What are you going to play for us?
Well, I think I'll do the one that we talked about. How about
the new one?
Sweet Escape?
Oh, Sweet Escape. Sweet Escape. I love Sweet Escape. Okay. Yes, please. All right, here's Katie Scullin live in the studio playing Sweet Escape.
I was there on my own, not for rich, not for poor. It didn't mean just the chance to run, just the chance to be free. They came fire in your eyes. You cut me blind, you stole my guiding light. You're making promises, you take all my dreams, you crawl inside and make them reality. Yeah. Turn this on me, but I watched you beg, steal, and change.
myself free.
Chris is clapping on the other side of the Conrad. Thanks, clapping Chris. Your green bag. He's mysteriously dark. Okay. Yeah, there you go. You can hear more. That's a great song. I love
Thank
it.
You.
It's got such a bluesy. Let me ask you something. What is your favorite genre, would you say, that has influenced your songwriting or music writing styles?
Gosh, I don't know. I like all sorts of music. Sometimes people have referred to me as like a wet noodle because I can't quite put me in a genre. Growing up, I really loved Tori Amos. Tori Amos. I think that this particular song was inspired by Amy Winehouse, which maybe is
interesting.
Why it has sort of a bluesy feel to it.
Yeah. It's kind of a haunting song too. It has a lot of undertones, you know, going on there. So
yeah,
that's cool. So how do you know when you have a great song?
You
have to play it in front of an audience first, or do you go, this is it. I love this.
I think sometimes I just like, I feel good about it, or like it hits me in a way where I'm like, I have to share it. I don't always know if it's good or not. But I think if I'm feeling something when I'm singing it, I guess I'm just hopeful that other people will resonate with that as well.
Do you need that connection with an audience to know? Do you like the song better when people respond to it, or is it a personal thing for you?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think for a while I did it because I just like needed to. And then I started to receive feedback from people like, oh my gosh, that song, you know, this happened in my life and this song meant so much to me. And I think about their story and then I look back at the lyrics that I wrote and I'm just kind of like awestruck how a completely different situation means the same thing to them. And it was a different scenario for me.
Like they connect with it totally different than what you were feeling maybe when you wrote it.
Right. That's or like the storyline. Like, yeah, it's a completely different like situation. But when you look at the lyrics, I'm like, oh, wait a second. That's so strange. Yeah.
Katie Scullin is here in studio with me for the second time. You were here probably in the summer, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I was in pink pants. So
you adhere to those rules.
Right.
I'm more brassy than that. I'll wear pink pants after October 1st. I don't care.
Yeah?
That's just how I roll. She's going to hopefully play something else for us. I want to ask you about videos you've done too, because I'm fascinated by that. Like you have great. And if you want to see more of Katie's stuff, go to katiescullin.com. There's a bio there. There's songs, some that have lyrics and videos. It's great stuff. Our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, get in on the fun. What is your favorite video game? Kate from Stevens Point. She's in the 715, says The Sims.
Ooh.
I don't even know that. I've heard it, but I don't know anything about that.
I wonder if it's similar. I think SimCity, is that different? I used to love SimCity when I was a kid.
Probably. It sounds like the kids would shorten it out of The Sims.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Thank you, Kate. And she says, oh, Wii Basketball. All right. We'll read more of your text. Let us know what your favorite video game is tonight. Matt Miller is here at 720 breaking down the Golden Globes. Right now, we still got time with Katie Scullin. And that's where we're going to be when we come back. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Thousands of people today gathered in the nation's capital for the People's March, formerly the Women's March, many supporting abortion access, transgender rights, and the environment.
We want to change the system. We want a more moral system, and we're here to do what's right.
Some also had anti-Trump signs. President-elect Trump will take the oath of office indoors because of cold temperatures. This woman picked up tickets for Monday's ceremony, but isn't sure if she'll be able to see it now.
I was like really excited for my kids to witness it.
TikTok is close to being banned in the U.S. over concerns its Chinese ownership poses a national security risk.
With users flocking to other platforms, a pair of Chinese-owned or supported apps, RedNote and Lemonade, have taken over the top two spots on Apple's App Store, though both could be subject to scrutiny.
Donald Trump says he might give TikTok a 90-day extension to work out a deal to avoid a ban. CBS News Brief, I'm Heather Bosch.
Local radio for you and your community. It's
on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield. This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
We got something going here in Madison. Power play goal, Simon Tassie. 2-1 Wisconsin. Stops one and another again to his left. He scores. Oh, he ripped that one over the glove hand. William Grandma, like an octopus in a broom.
We are America's college hockey capital.
The relentless, resilient Red with another come-from-behind win.
Badger Hockey is brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. And by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show.
Hockey fans from Bob Johnson Rink inside the Kohl Center in Madison. Welcome to Wisconsin Badger Hockey. Tonight, the Badgers shoot for a series sweep against the Sharks of Long Island University. Our producer is Darren McDermott at our Learfield studios in Jefferson City, Missouri. Former Badgers defenseman and assistant coach Ian Perrin alongside I'm Brian Posick. Well, the Badgers last night improved to their overall record to 10-12-1 with a 6-3 win over Long Island. The Badgers converted on 25% of their shots. Gavin Morrissey scored twice. Ryland Mosley produced his second four-point night of the season. Ian, Long Island made it difficult on Wisconsin by playing a physical brand of hockey, and I'm sure the Badgers expecting the same from the Sharks tonight, but there were times last night where Wisconsin was sloppy and paid for it, but oftentimes if you're sloppy, you score six goals, it can cover up a lot of deficiencies.
Yeah, a lot of deficiencies are correct. You get into a situation where I don't think that anybody should have been surprised because we knew that they were big and strong, Long Island that is, big and strong. But when they came out and hit anything that moved, and if it moved again, they just knocked it down. That was kind of their MO coming into the game. And then as players get tired and you start to get got behind, as Long Island did, then it starts to get chippy. And that's the part that I think the Badgers are going to have to do tonight is keep their heads about them. I'm not saying that they should have to back down or stray away from any of the physical contact or physical nature of the game, but use your head.
And in their first game without senior defenseman Daniel Lodge, who's done for the season following hip surgery last week, what did you think of the decor?
At times, great. And I was happy that we had a lot of special teams time, because the three defensemen who were healthy did a great job on the special teams as far as that was concerned. It almost looked in the third period like they had never played together.
Yeah.
With the amount of breakaways and the amount of miscommunication that went on in the neutral zone in particular. And every time that a Badger defenseman early in the third period, when they had pressure on us, every time that a Badger defenseman would look up, there would be nobody within 20 feet of them, and they would hit the panic button. So I think it's something that you can easily correct, but hopefully the pairs will be more consistent tonight, and maybe with a game underneath their belt, that'll be the case.
So the Badgers trying to win a series finale for the first time since beating Penn State here at the Kohl Center back on November 16th. It's Wisconsin and Long Island, and we'll hear from head coach Mike Hastings in a couple of minutes. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a
glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
As the temperatures drop and the mornings get foggy, the team at 8th Street Auto wants to remind you that they're here for all of your weatherization needs. This is the time of year when checking your light bulbs, tires, brakes, and windshield wipers is very important. Make an appointment today with an educated team that will keep you safe on the roads this fall and winter season. Find them at 4390 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids. 8th Street Auto and Service Center, here for all your weatherization needs.
Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator from Econ Electric. When the power goes out, your life can't go on without interruption. It's getting cold outside. Get powered back up with Generac generators and protect against Wisconsin's unpredictable weather. Call 715-423-8440 for Econ Electric. Terms and conditions apply. See your Econ Electric technician today for more information. Sleep with ease knowing you are protected by Econ Electric and Generac generators.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized, then the carpenters union in 1848. The national labor union didn't even form until 1866. A state historical society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Is this real leather?
Back here at the Kohl Center in Madison, where the Badgers wrap up their weekend series against Long Island tonight. A 6-3 Wisconsin victory last night. Head coach Mike Hastings joins us here on the pregame show. And I'm sure it's not the way you drew it up, but there were some sloppy plays, things that happened throughout the game. But when you score 6 goals against anybody at this level, I think that first and foremost was the positive to take away from last night. Would you agree?
Yeah, we just had a power play meeting not long ago, and I thought they were the difference last night. We weren't great 5-on-5 offensively. We weren't great 5-on-5 defensively. We shot ourselves in the foot a little bit with some puck management and then some just poor decisions. But we were able to, with our special teams, cover that up a little bit. And it seemed like any time that we did make a mistake and it went in the back of the net, the thing that I really liked, which I'm hoping is a sign of maturity over us from the beginning of the year, is we answered the bell. We came out and scored soon after. And so to me, that's the positive. And right now, when you're coming off an off week, for us to put 6 up, have the power play be a difference in the game, kill penalties the way that we killed last night, that's overall a positive.
Of course, your top line continues to be remarkable, but you get a couple of goals from your defensemen last night. And Daniel Lodge, until last night, was the only defenseman that had scored goals. But here's Logan Hensler with a big goal on a power play. Zach Scholes with a big goal in the third period as well. It was good to see. And you know what? Those two players are the youngest players on your team, not just your youngest defenseman, but the young guys picked up the slack when you lost a senior for the year.
Yeah, you and I discussed that a little bit prior to yesterday's game, and having a meeting with our defensive core once Daniel was out, we talked about spreading the the responsibility throughout our defensive core to cover those minutes. And, you know, we're not going to replace Lachey. We're just not. When he's played in 100 straight games for you, there's a calmness about him back there. And so we're going to go about our business. And I thought those guys, what a big-time play, win a face-off. Quinn Finley does what Quinn Finley does and shows incredible patience and then a really good stick on being able to sauce it over to Schulze. And Schulze got his head up and found a spot and buried it. And, you know, with Hensler coming back from the World Juniors, wanting to get him back into, you know, game shape without running him down too much. I think he played 16, 17 minutes last night. Sure. And were there some mistakes in there? Yes, as there is with all young players, but he flushed it and found a way to make an impact on the game by scoring a power play goal. Yeah.
Logan's only 18 years old, and you can see the gifts he has, but he also coughed up a puck one-on-one. They score, and, you know, that's an 18-year-old making a mistake. How patient are you with 18-year-olds when you can see the talent level that somebody like Logan Hensler has?
Part of learning is failing. And I don't care if that's somebody at a job at an accounting firm or, you know, it just doesn't matter. You have to go through things, and you don't want players afraid to make mistakes. You want them to go out and play. He'll learn from that. He's a guy that very self-conscious about what he does. He owns everything that he does positively and negatively. And I'm going to tell you, the ones sometimes it has to go in the back of the net for it to stick.
Sure.
And that happened. But as you saw last night, I'm going to share this with the people that are listening. The thing that I liked was there were no less than 8 or 9 or 10 of our guys that when he got back to the bench, they had his back. Hey, don't worry about it. Flush it. Move on. So the guys were messaging it in the proper way, and I thought he handled it fantastically.
Mike Hastings with us, the Badgers and Long Island again tonight. More in a moment. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Which schools will take home the prestigious Learfield Director's Cup as the top college athletic programs for the 2024-25 college athletic season? You can follow the standings of your favorite team or alma mater at L Director's Cup on Twitter and online at TheDirectorsCup.com. Trophies will be awarded in June 2025 to the winning institutions in all college sports divisions. Learfield Director's Cup, the crowning achievement in college athletics.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Wisconsin and Long Island coming up here in just a bit. Last 10 minutes of the game last night, Mike Hastings had 10 forwards at his discretion, although Jack Horbach went from defense back to forward, so you're juggling things a little bit as Adam Piello was ejected, and then Cody Laskowski went down with a lower body injury, so you're making some lineup changes here tonight?
Yeah, we are. The one line we'll leave intact is our top unit. The other three lines are going to be just adjusted a little bit, primarily on the left side. Owen Mellenbacher is going to go in and play with Scholes and Pietola on our fourth unit. And he's ready. He's somebody that's been chomping at the bit to get back in the lineup. hopefully Lasko's not out long term. It's something that we'll be watching. It's more day to day than anything else. And I think Owen is excited about taking advantage of this opportunity.
Sure. And finally, Long Island, boy, they hit anything in Cardinal and White last night. They like to finish their checks a little over the edge at times, too, expecting the same type of thing tonight. So keep your poise tonight, right?
Yeah, you know what? And last night we made that be a positive for us because we put them up on the board. The only way you get people to slow down going to the gate is by putting power play goals on the board. So go out, play hard, play physical. Give it as well as get it, but make sure you're disciplined in that process because them trying to get us into 4-on-3, 4-on-4, things that aren't 5-on-5, I think that benefits them more than it does us. So for us, go out, get us off to a good start, and go from there.
And Tommy Scarfone back in goal for the Badgers tonight. My thanks to Mike Hastings, Wisconsin, and LIU right around the corner. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
Hello there, this is James,
Melissa,
Chad,
and Seth, inviting you to come work with us. Civic Media is looking for a full-time sales professional to work with existing and new broadcast and digital media clients.
We're a fast-growing company that offers competitive wages, benefits, a relaxed working environment that focuses on quality of life and includes a team of support to reach our shared goals.
Join us in continuing what we have done for 80 years. Be a part of the community, put into the community, celebrate community.
Find out more by contacting Chuck Gennaro at 715-935-8030 or email chuck.gennaro@civicmedia.us. All inquiries are confidential. Civic Media Incorporated is an equal opportunity employer, and we look forward to you joining us.
Wisconsin Women's Basketball brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
By NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Fans filing in for the series finale, Wisconsin and Long Island. It's also face-off against Cancer Night, the annual event here, as the University of Wisconsin recognizes the work of local doctors in the fight against cancer. And then fans that come out have a chance to acknowledge who they're backing and fighting for as they go through their battle with cancer. And we all know all of us have been touched by this disease in some form or fashion, including you. And it's hard to talk about, but to bring awareness to it, to raise some funds for it, to acknowledge people that are doing the best they can to find a cure for it, I think that's very important.
A couple of years ago, I did a small interview with Greg Gard about
the introduction of support staff and doctors and everything else, and he said, Ian, are you have anything to do with this? Have you had any exposure to this? So I explained my situation with both my wives, and he said, so you're one of those guys like me who at 7:30 in the morning, when you're taking your spouse in for chemotherapy, there's four smiling faces waiting for you at the door, and they're nothing but positive the whole time. And I said, yep. And you know what? I used to do it on Saturday morning, so it's not like they're a 9-to-5 job by any stretch of the imagination. Can't say enough about the work and dedication of those people, especially at the Carbone Cancer Center.
And we think about a lot of people on a day like today, including Doc Andringa and Tony Granato, Rob Andringa and Jeff Sauer. Hard to believe Robbie's been gone almost 5 years. Coach Sauer passed away in February of 2017 from pancreatic cancer. We think about them every day we step in the rink. Badgers getting ready for Long Island. We'll check what's going on elsewhere in college hockey and college basketball when we come back. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The countdown to saving design at Clary Building Corp. Get the best prices of the year right now at any Clary location, or contact us for a free consultation on the building you have been dreaming about. Clary has a building for every stage of your life. Visit clarybuilding.com today to see all of the amazing building options we offer. Don't let the clock run out for big savings.
Hey, Badger fans. You want your family to be warm and comfortable during the brutal Wisconsin winters, right? That's why it's good to know the knowledgeable, friendly dealers at Bryan Heating and Cooling, who will do whatever it takes to keep your furnace running efficiently, no matter what the weather throws at you. Plus, score up to $2,600 in tax credits on qualifying Bryan systems. And ask about local rebates and financing for qualified buyers. Find your local dealer at Bryant.com. That's Bryant.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Badgers are born brave. They're not afraid to face a tough opponent or take on the impossible. At UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, our team of doctors take on cancer with that same Badger stamina. Where others step back, we step up, researching, treating, and defeating even the most complex cancers, making us the only NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in the state. So now, from stadium to hospital, you can count on Wisconsin and UW Health to fight and win. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center. Remarkable.
Coors Light presents To Chill or Not To Chill. When your friend skips your favorite song on the playlist, end the friendship. Or choose chill because that song lives rent-free in your head anyway. And you planned ahead by bringing Coors Light to the party. And the sound of that ice-cold can cracking open was music to your ears already. Coors Light. Choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Well, a big win for Michigan last night in its fight for home ice advantage in the first round of the Big Ten playoffs. It actually didn't help Wisconsin as Michigan rallied to beat Michigan State in overtime 3-2 in Ann Arbor. Garrett Shifsky had the game-winning goal, and that allowed Michigan to pull even with Wisconsin for fourth place in the Big Ten, both with 20 points. The Wolverines have played one less game, and they're at Michigan State tonight in a game that will face off in about 40 minutes or so. Jimmy Snuggerud has scored his 15th goal of the season, but Carter Slager just scored, and Notre Dame has a 2-1 lead at Minnesota. That's in the second period. The Gophers won last night 5-2 behind a pair of goals from Snuggerud. And Verona's J.J. Wiebusch has a couple of assists. Penn State, 3 first-period goals, and the Nittany Lions lead Canisius 3-1 in the third period of play. We're going to see Michigan next weekend. That's a huge game again for the Wolverines today in East Lansing. Michigan State hasn't dropped 2 games in a row all season long. They lose in overtime last night. But I'm anxious to see the Wolverines tomorrow night. But again, Wisconsin's got to take care of business here tonight and start fast against this club that wants to come out and hit you.
Yeah, it would be a positive benchmark to sweep at home in your first series back in the second semester, regardless of what Michigan does tonight. Michigan State, high quality Big Ten scoring, Big Ten hockey at its finest. And again, an overtime game. Just think about what the Badgers did against Michigan State. You know, 3-2 overtime,
right?
4-3 loss, 3-2 overtime, 4-0 victory. All of those things, it's just going to be tooth and nail that both teams are going to end up fighting for. But you have to set a precedent here tonight to keep in those winning ways and to keep with that system of showing how you can get success under the system of Mike Hastings.
Let's take a look at our UW Health injury update. UW Health Sports Medicine treating the Badgers, treating you. Again, Wisconsin without senior defenseman Daniel Lodge, season-ending hip surgery last week. And fifth-year forward Cody Laskowski out of the lineup. He's been nursing a lower body injury, tried to pray through it last night and just couldn't go. As far as the quick trip lineups tonight for Wisconsin, senior Tommy Scarfoni in goal again. He's 9-8-1 this season, a 230 goals against, a 914 save percentage. He stopped 22 of 25 shots last night. Scarfoni was on a real roll, but the last four games, he's given up 14 goals, a save percentage about 885. I don't know if that's as much about Scarfoni or maybe the play in front of him.
I wish there was some sort of way to temper the statistics, because there was, pardon my French, there were some crappy goals scored last night. Goes off a guy, trickles in between his legs. I mean, how that's a knock on your save percentage. Yes, it is technically, but yeah. Fact of the matter being is that he came up big on when it was 4-2 and they had a clear breakaway and he just snatched it out of the air. Yeah, that's where he improved his percentage. And he's been consistently good for the down the stretch here, so I can't see any changes, but hopefully they'll play better in front of him tonight.
Starting defenseman for Mike Hastings, a fifth-year Anthony Kerr, who's had a really nice fifth season. He had +3 last night to lead the Badgers. And Zach Scholes scored his first goal of the season last night. He'll play in his 50th career game tonight. Owen Lindmark will play in his 160th game as a Badger, the sixth-year centerman from Naperville, 5 goals, 7 points. His left winger, freshman Ryan Botterill, 2 goals and 4 points. And then on the right wing, Simon Tassie, the junior from Montreal, scored his second goal of the season last evening. That proved to be the game winner. As for the Long Island Sharks in goal, it's Tyreek Outen, 6'3", 180-pound junior from Tampa. So far this season, Outen against Division I opponents, 5-3, a 203 goals against average, a 914 save percentage. He stopped 7 of 9 shots in 29 minutes in relief last night. Of starting goaltender Noah Ruprecht, he gave up only 2 goals and a 3-1 loss Saturday at Colgate. Their starting defensive pair, Valtteri Perinen, he's from Finland, and then Captain John Gormley at 6'4", 225 pounds. Gormley looked like a grown man. And when I say grown man, I'm talking about 30s, 40s grown man, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's such a big boy. And you know what? He's pretty fluid for being 225 pounds on ice. He's a very fluid person, but the one thing that really impressed me for a big guy like him is he's got a pretty good set of mitts. I mean, he's got a nice set of hands. There were times when people would get bottled up and he would strip the puck and make a pinpoint pass or even just a scoop out of the zone, because he's mentally very good too. Also,
as far as the forward line is concerned, at center is Connor Grega. He is a senior from Ontario. Grega this season has 3 goals and 7 points. He had an assist last night. The left winger, Isaiah Fox, senior, 5'11", from Montreal. Fox scored a goal last night. He also had 3 penalties for 14 minutes. And then Austin Brimmer at 6'4", 222, the junior from Markham, Ontario. Brimmer had a goal, 3 shots on goal last night, 6 goals, 10 points. For the big right winger for the LIU Sharks, Brent Riley in his fifth season, 55 wins, 83 losses, and 6 ties. Mike Hastings, 13th year overall as a Division I head coach. Hastings, 335 wins, 133 losses, and 28 ties. Before we continue, we pause 10 seconds for station identification, 10 seconds for a legal ID. You're listening to Wisconsin Badger Hockey.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
So the Cardinal in white against the Long Island Sharks in the opening faceoff, brought to you by Odyssey Greek Yogurt, is coming up. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The new year begins with you. The holidays are past and now you should focus on you. The team at Johnson Chrysler Jeep believe you deserve a new chariot on four wheels with leather heated seats and maybe a backup mirror. Oh, you could even get your favorite color. Splurge on you in 2025 because you know how hard you work for your loved ones and you deserve it. Johnson Chrysler Jeep in Wisconsin Rapids, where finding your new ride for the new you is easy and fun. From the team at Johnson Chrysler Jeep, happy new you in this new year.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers,